From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. A little bit later on, it's called Old Earth with producer Gary Grossman joining us. Fascinating topic. Here's what's happening. Well, the search for the missing Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 will be doubled now if nothing is found in the current search zone, and I believe nothing will. The announcement came from Australian, Malaysian, and Chinese ministers meeting to discuss progress. The plane flying from the Malaysian capital to Beijing disappeared on March 8th of 2014 with 239 people on board. Even wealthier Americans are struggling now to save enough for retirement, according to a new survey. The report found that even among households with incomes of $75,000 or more, roughly a third live paycheck to paycheck, at least some of the time, and one-fourth of those with incomes of $100,000 or more also doing the same. And the number of Americans filing new claims for jobless benefits unexpectedly rose last week, but the underlying trend continued to point to a strengthening labor market. Or is it? Let's check in with Michael Shedlock, the registered investment advisor. Mish, what about the labor force? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm inclined to agree with those who say, or is it? The Philadelphia Fed manufacturing survey came in weak. The Empire Fed yesterday came in weak. Housing disappointed. There was a big unexpected decline in home starts last month. Economists expected a big rebound this month. Didn't happen, George. They were forecasting seasonally adjusted about 1 million houses. They were off by about 10%, something like 900,000. So report after work, industrial production was down. It's just week report after week report. We got one more job report next month, George. If that's not any good, I think we're in recession.
Here we go again. And interest rates, you think they're going to stay flat?
I do, George. Everyone is talking about this taper. In fact, it was kind of interesting. You know, the IMF said, you know, they were expecting this taper tantrum where the Fed was going to hike and interest rates were going to start soaring. I'm sitting here thinking, George, we might have a tantrum. We're going to have a tantrum when the Fed doesn't hike because the economy is weaker than expected.
All right, Mish, thank you so much. Republican candidate for president Rand Paul says, if elected, I will get the IRS out of your life. That's his campaign pledge. He says on tax day yesterday that the federal government has become too bloated. He said our founders never intended for the tax code to be used as a weapon against U.S. citizens. As president, I will get the IRS out of your life and out of the way of every job creator in America, and generate millions of jobs, boost wages, and expand opportunity for all. I wonder how many more will jump on board with that. A federal judge has ruled that a 2009 bankruptcy order shields General Motors from billions of dollars in death and injury claims tied to defective ignition switches in older, smaller cars. But the judge in New York, who handed GM's government-funded bankruptcy case 6 years ago, also ruled that plaintiffs who claim a loss in the value of their cars can still sue General Motors, but only for company actions that happened after it left bankruptcy in July of 2009. Well, today, most people do not get enough sleep. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has now called insufficient sleep an epidemic. And while we are finally paying attention to the importance of sleep, the need for dark is still mostly ignored. Being exposed to regular patterns of light and dark regulates our circadian rhythm. Disruption of this rhythm may increase the risk of developing some health conditions, including obesity, diabetes, and breast cancer. Look up in the skies these days. What do you see? Well, let's check in with astronomer Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. What's up, Steve?
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Hey, great things happening always in the sky. And this time we're talking about another near-Earth asteroid. This one folks should know about. It's called 2012 TC4. It passed the Earth back, of course, in 2012 by a little less than maybe a third of the moon's diameter. But astronomers at the University of Texas are saying this, and we have to be cautious, They're saying that this object will return to the Earth's vicinity, and they're saying that this object, twice the size, George, of the Chelyabinsk object that, of course, struck in Russia back in February of 2013, and they have a date if it were to actually impact the Earth. They're not saying exactly it will, but get a load of this date, not too far away, October the 12th of 2017. And the problem is, and nobody knows, of course, exactly where on the Earth this would impact. But this is a sad story to report, but truth always, this is something that people need to know about, and we'll be keeping our eyes on it. But George, closer to home, always sky tips, that meteor shower that we spoke about earlier this week is starting to pick up. It's called the Lyrids. The moon is new this weekend, so it's out of the way. So if your skies are clear, look into the northeast sky, probably starting around midnight local time. And George, the meteors will be coming right out of an area of the bright star Vega. This is the beginning of the meteor season for 2015. And always wonderful things in the night sky. We'll be reporting that on our website. And check photorecon.net for the latest from our aviation site.
Thanks, Dr. Sky. Appreciate it. Got an email a few days ago from Betty in Lincoln, Nebraska. And she said, George, I love Coast to Coast. Listen to it all the time. Can you get Craig Hewlett back on the program? I just love listening to him. And so I had a chance to talk to producers Tom and executive producer Lisa, and we said, let's do it. It's time to get Craig back because the world is in turmoil. Make no mistake about it. And that's our subject tonight with Craig Hewlett when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. The UN Special Envoy to Yemen has stepped down from his post amid criticism of his failure to broker an end to the conflict in that country. The UN said it would name a successor in due course and spare no efforts to relaunch the peace process. Look, I'm convinced the world is in turmoil right now. Craig Hewlett has been a speechwriter and a consultant for a number of geopolitical, business, and security companies. He's an expert on terrorism and military affairs. We're going to spend 2 hours with him tonight as we talk about some of the things that are going on. He's also an author, The Hydra of Carnage, one of his books. Craig, pleasure to get you back, and because of one of our listeners, we pushed it even faster. Good to have you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on, as always. I really appreciate it.
So I think the world's in turmoil. What do you think, Mr. Hewlett?
I think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't think things could be, well, no, actually, the things are going to get much worse before they get better. So I think we might as well grit our teeth and get ready for it. It looks to me unbelievably clear that money is going to buy the presidency and Jeb Bush will be the next president. And so given that as a reality, I would have to say that in about 10 years, you and I will not recognize the domestic United States of America. In fact, we will have to call it something other than the United States of America. And I'm not the only one that's beginning to feel this way. Tom Eagleheart, Nick Turse over at Tom Dispatch. I mentioned on another talk show, the Carl Nelson Show, that he just wrote an article that a lot of my clients felt that he had been at my website or he's heard me on your show or doing interviews, because for the first time, somebody on the progressive left with his credentials, and I really do admire and respect Tom Eagleheart and his work for years. So let me be very clear on that. I'm neither left nor right, so I don't have a problem complimenting him. And the article, he stressed over and over again that something was very, very wrong at the highest level in Washington, D.C., and he didn't any longer know what to call it. He didn't have a name for it. And he kind of begs the question in his article, or maybe he's begging the reader to help, is to come up with a name to call this new regime in Washington. Nick Turse recently called it a thugocracy, which I used that language back when George Bush Jr. was in the White House, so that's not even new. But I think he's on the right track, and I hope that, you know, possibly he'll look at my work and maybe my thesis will be somewhat convincing to him that we have already faced a regime change, and it's over. In the United States of America, as you and I would define it, the way we grew up thinking about it, the way we thought it was, it is no more, and it hasn't been for quite some time. And I think it started right after World War II. When World War II ended, I think that was the beginning of the end. By JFK, I think we did suffer a coup d'etat. None of this is a conspiracy theory. And at this point in our history, this is not my country. This is not the United States of America. It's a corporate regime that's international. It's global. It is an empire, but it's not in behalf of the American continent or the American people. And I'll repeat, if Jeb Bush gets 8 years in the White House and we put another 18 months of Obama under our belt, you will not recognize this country.
Why, Craig? Why is it changing so much? What's happening?
I don't think there's any question in my mind that, well, let me just back up and explain. Everybody, I think, needs to take a look at Ken Burns' documentary work on World War II.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Watch it carefully. Watch it all the way straight through. And then watch the one on Roosevelt, an intimate history of Franklin and Theodore Roosevelt. When you get to Franklin Roosevelt, you realize that he took a great deal of power under his hand to successfully get America out of the Depression and an ongoing money problem with the country. And what he referred to back then as economic royalists, that was his term for the banking system and the largest corporations and defense contractors. And he believed that they were a tremendous threat domestically to the American people. But when World War II came, he found that the only way to gear up to fight Nazi Germany and Japan was to turn over and allow them to make tremendous profits to businessmen. He literally turned the country over to businessmen in every category that mattered. Now, I did win World War II, but I know with my entire being, Roosevelt would have gotten rid of those men had he lived and Truman hadn't replaced him. He would have gotten rid of those men at the end of World War II and put back into power statesmen that would have, again, addressed the domestic population, the peace at home. But that never happened. Those men, those economic royalists, never left. And once they had their hands on that much power, and as weak a president as Truman, and after that, every president that followed complained of these men. Eisenhower's speech, we all recall. We all recall Smedley Butler's speech and his books about these men and the banking power. Kennedy complained, wanted to break up the CIA, which was nothing but an offshoot of that economic power. And now we're at a point where it really is over. The largest 10 banks control 90% of everything that goes on in the entire world at this point. And they own 30% of every large corporation, the same banks. And now we only have one or two or five corporations dominating every sector of the economy that matters. There's so much wealth and power shifted in the hands of so few. And this isn't the childish 1% argument of Wall Street, the Wall Street protesters. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm talking about something I've talked about for 30 years because some of those corporations were my clients. I know what kind of men they are.
Sure.
I know what they are like in their boardroom. I know their cynicism, their greed, and power. And when they have that much power, it's bound to corrupt everything. And now we're at a point every president is owned by them.
So nothing will change.
We need regime change. They've already taken the country by revolution. It was a quiet, but it was a bloody revolution. And they already took the country. The revolution took place. We've lost the country. It is no longer the United States. How do you take it back without a revolution? I don't know. And I do not advocate violence. Because
I know you don't. I know you. It's important.
I don't think you can have any idea what our own government is capable of doing to our own people here on our domestic soil.
Well, I got to tell you, last weekend I was in Kent, Ohio. I had a major event there, Craig, and it was surreal for me because nearly 45 years ago we had that tragedy at Kent State where four students were gunned down by National Guardsmen. It was bizarre and strange being out there 45 years later, feeling it, sensing it. And, you know, even though there was some burning down of an ROTC building, and I think there were a lot of rabble-rousers who came into Kent, Ohio to cause problems, when you look back, those students who protested were right. They were right then. They are right today. They knew. They saw what was happening to this country. And four of them lost their lives. A number of them were wounded. And things were out of control then. They seem to be out of control today.
They're far more worse today than then. In fact, Nixon is looking pretty good right now. If you really be honest, Nixon is looking pretty good right now as a president. Because what we're doing now is not only shredding the Constitution, but things that exist right under our noses are in fact, and I know this argument's pointless, they're unconstitutional. I already know Ron Paul will sit there and tell me, well, Craig, if you know the House and the Senate don't vote that it's unconstitutional, then you can't argue it's unconstitutional unless the Supreme Court says it's unconstitutional. What it is the Congress has abdicated their authority and transferred it elsewhere. But Homeland Security, I'm just saying, it's illegal. It's a criminal enterprise. It should not exist, and it is, in fact, a standing army on our domestic soil. And it will be unleashed on the American people if the American people ever choose to hit the streets in large numbers and act revolutionary.
Well, not, see, that's
they will not tolerate a 60s revolt.
That's a key thing you just said. Will they go to the streets? Will they protest? Now, last year, and I'm in St. Louis right now before I head back to L.A., I had a chance to feel and see and witness the Ferguson, Missouri situation, the tragedy that happened out there. Now, keep in mind, that police officer was not indicted. They didn't have enough evidence, they felt, to remand him over for a trial in the shooting of Michael Brown, the unarmed African-American youth who struggled and something horrible happened there. But we'll get into some of the other police episodes in a second. But I was able to see that kind of protest, and I'm convinced that if that happens again times five, let's say, a little bigger, a little more dangerous, you're right. The troops are going to come out, and God knows what's going to happen after that.
Police have already killed more Americans, unarmed Americans, United States, American police officers, in various cities and states have killed more Americans, 111, for the month of March, just March. That's more than the entire United Kingdom police have killed since 1900.
Well, you know, and I love police. I know you do, too. You respect law enforcement. There are some bad, bad apples in that basket. We just saw one on video from the Carolinas last week. That was out of control. Of those 111, how many do you think were justified?
None. These were not justified. That was the report from the Justice Department. They're finally tracking this because of Ferguson. They're focusing more on it. And there was a period of time when they didn't even report. Many city police departments didn't even report of a police officer shot and killed an unarmed person who was innocent of any wrongdoing. They didn't even report it. So we really don't know how many nationwide will be killed this year. We still aren't ever going to be really certain. But, you know, not only do I respect law enforcement, I've worked with law enforcement for 35 years, the DEA, the ATF, and for a short time, Secret Service. I am in the computer as a consultant and analyst with federal law enforcement. I helped put a dozen people in prison. Unfortunately, some of them are out on parole now, so I'm not real crazy about that.
They're probably looking for you. Be careful.
Well, I like I said, I really believe the Second Amendment, and they're fully aware of that. But the fact of the matter is, I have discussed this with some of the retired federal agents that were head of intel in different departments and agencies. These were the top guys in intelligence. And they're having to agree with me now. There was some resistance at first, but they're agreeing now that maybe my argument for why this is taking place is valid, is they've lowered the standards to such a degree that they really are hiring people that should never be allowed to carry a gun and a badge.
I agree with that. Craig, hold on. We're going to come back in just a moment and continue chatting with you about the world in turmoil. Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to make a phone call with Mr. Hewlett and share your thoughts and views as well. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Craig Hewlett with us. Craig, would you be in shock if for some reason it wasn't Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush running against each other?
I guarantee it's going to be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. The only reason Hillary...
I wouldn't bet against it. Don't worry. I'm not going to bet against it. But would you be in shock, though, if it was not?
Oh, yeah, I will be shocked if it's not. No, it would mean that the elite, the oligarchy that has had this plan in place since George Bush Jr. was in the White House would fundamentally fail at what they do. And I don't see how that's possible, because Jeb Bush has already had his campaign people announce that they're not taking any funding from anybody unless it's at least $1 million. They raised in 60 days over $100 million.
Wow.
He took with him three of the top fundraisers and four of the top staffers from Chris Christie. He went to Utah and stripped, what was his name? Romney, of half of his staff and three of his top funders. And Romney immediately stepped down within 3 days.
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, Jeb Bush has been on the move for several years now, and my client base has always been fully aware of it. We've been tracking him. He's writing papers for the Council on Foreign Relations. He gives lectures all over to every major institution, elite institution like the Trilateral Commission, had him giving speeches and writing policy papers on immigration. So, you know, it was clear that he was being groomed to run for the White House, even when George Bush Jr. was still in office. That's when I first announced it. And really, the only reason Hillary hesitated to come out is because her husband may find himself having to testify in the Jeffrey Epstein
pedophile thing.
That's in front of a courtroom right now. And Bill Clinton and Dershowitz, the lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, were both named on 12 flight manifests with Jeffrey Epstein with the young girls and boys on the plane. So I think, you know, there's so much baggage with Hillary that I think there's a lot of fools in the Democratic Party that will still endorse her, and certainly the women will endorse her in the Democratic Party, even the silly women. We'll endorse her. But in the end, I don't think she's electable. I don't think very many Americans have any respect for this woman. A lot of people don't respect her because she never divorced Bill, which, you know, I've always had a question in my mind about that. Once he was no longer in the White House, why would she stay with him? But at the same time, Saudi Arabia has funded the Hillary and Bill Clinton Foundation, along with other tyrannical regimes, some of the worst regimes for human rights violations, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar. They've bloated the Clinton Foundation with funds, buying her off, as it were. So if she does become president, she'll never withhold or release the 28 pages that Bob Graham is still demanding. And by the way, you know, I don't want to go over old territory all the time, but I don't think there's anything more significant in our lifetime than the fact that Saudi Arabia was behind 9/11. There's no question any longer. And they've suppressed information from the American people and from the commission, the inquiry, that five of the 19 hijackers trained at U.S. military bases. Now, before I go any further on that, I want to tell you something, George. I've never told this to anybody.
Okay, what?
When 9/11 took place, I got a phone call at 8 o'clock in the morning or something, and one of my clients told me that it was happening. I went to the computer, saw it, and I immediately went to the basement, as I always used to do, to call the head of ATF intelligence, who I was working with for 3 solid years, on something that has nothing to do with anything that would interest your audience. But him and I are still friends. He's retired now, but he was head of intel, and he was in a hotel room working a case in Oklahoma. I called him at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I said what was happening. He turned the TV on, and I said, Scott, I'm not going to use his last name. I said, Scott, these pilots are nation-state pilots. These are not hijackers, customary hijackers. These are trained pilots. This is a nation-state is behind it, and those pilots are military-trained pilots. Well, we went back and forth on that for years. And now it comes out that the FBI actually went to Bob Graham's house, an FBI official went to Bob Graham's house, and without too much subtlety, instructed him to stand down and stop pursuing the 28 pages and a further investigation into 9/11, that it was settled and nobody's interested. Well, Bob Graham immediately went to the New York Times and the Washington Post and went public with it, and I'm going to tell you right now, I will never, ever, as long as I'm alive, stop telling the American people your government has acted criminally since Bush Jr., Obama, and Jeb Bush when he becomes president. They are in bed with the country that killed 3,000 Americans on American soil on 9/11, and it was the Saudi government and the royal family. They were behind it. They funded it. There's no question. It can be proven in court.
Why would they do this, Craig? I'm not doubting you, but why would they do this?
Okay, well, why they did it is probably the most insidious part. Is the policy was already set back when George Bush Sr. was in the White House to remake the Middle East upon the collapse of the Soviet Union. That was already settled in a policy paper and a meeting at the White House under George Bush Sr. In that policy paper, which I've published in my white papers, and I have copies of it sitting right on my desk in front of me right now, they outlined that they were going to take out every military, nation-state leader, military government in the Middle East, starting with Iraq. It included Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan.
Libya.
Every one of them was named in the policy. And it stated blankly, Iraq had to be first. Now, this is being done in a unified effort because we have had a special relationship with Saudi Arabia since FDR took office.
Yes, a very strange special relationship.
Yes, but a special relationship that gets them $60 billion a year of taxpayers' money right alongside Israel's $60 billion a year. We back them militarily. They work like bookends in the Middle East. And they are the most brutal regime of all. We talk about Muammar Gaddafi. My God, Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein had increased the living standard, put women in government, women could go to school. Saudi Arabia is the most backward country on earth. But
I agree with that. That you know, they behead people for crimes and everything else. That's right. But what did Gaddafi? Keep in mind, Gaddafi wasn't a Boy Scout earlier in his career. Saddam was on our side. What did those two do to get on our bad side?
Well, they did nothing. In fact, what they were doing as nation-state leaders is taking care of their own people, their own country, and restricting the oil and its revenue to applying it to both their domestic population, and in Gaddafi's case, he was spreading the wealth around to nine nations in North Africa, and as the leader of those nine nations, he was guaranteeing that he would use his country to bring a living standard up in all of those other nations.
Uh-huh.
Well, our government is no longer a government of statesmen. FDR, I'm sorry, had he lived, this may not have ever happened, but he didn't. And these businessmen are ugly, violent, greedy to a degree you can't possibly fathom. You and I cannot fathom the kind of greed at Goldman Sachs and Chase Morgan and ExxonMobil.
Part of me thinks that they support, now this is weird, but that they support what's happening right now with ISIS running wild throughout the Middle East.
We created ISIS.
For turmoil. That they like that entire region to be in chaos.
That's because we can then go in and bomb the infrastructure of Iraq and Syria. Whether we were going to try to remove Assad of Syria the same way we removed Gaddafi.
That didn't work.
We removed Hussein. He was supposed to be taken to the streets and slaughtered. And I guess Hillary would have been sitting there applauding that as well. That was the plan. But Russia intervened and said, hands off Assad, or I'm going to attack Saudi Arabia. That's the only reason we didn't follow through. Putin said, I will bomb Saudi Arabia if you go after Assad. So Israel, Saudi Arabia, and America's CIA, according to Wesley Clark, by the way, endorses this argument, we created ISIS and turned them loose. So then we can bomb Assad of Syria's infrastructure and destroy his country just as though we had done regime change.
Has
so
ISIS,
we can blame it on bombing ISIS.
Has ISIS run amok?
No, not really. We could take ISIS out if we wanted to. We don't want to. We want them to continue running chaos so we could continue to intervene and bomb those countries into the Stone Age and put in power people that will be obedient to Unocal, Exxon, Goldman Sachs.
Well, what's going on, Craig, in Yemen? Explain that situation.
Same thing. The Yemeni government did not stand up and allow us to continue the drone warfare that was taking place in Yemen. He started bucking it. And when he started bucking, the sheer number of people we killed in Yemen with drone attacks was staggering. It was absolutely absurd. But so many people in Yemen are against America that it was a field day. But we killed a lot of civilians. So the Yemeni government started intervening and saying, no more. Well, the minute they said that, we backed a coup d'etat, just like we backed the coup d'etat in the Ukraine to punish Putin in Russia. I'm sorry. The American people are going to have to grow up about something. I'm sorry to have to say this to your listening audience. You know, I love you guys.
You're giving me a queasy stomach, Craig.
This is a criminal government. We need this government to go away. We need regime change in America, or we are going to not only lose America, we are going to be the most hated country on earth. Because what these men are doing in my name, your name, our name, as America, is criminal. It's as bad as anything Hitler ever had planned. In fact, we're going to be far more successful than he was.
Are they too entrenched for this regime change to occur?
Well, the elections won't do it.
No.
I can guarantee you elections won't do it. We had the lowest turnout in 73 years this last election, this last November, the lowest in 73 years. I think we're going to have a terrible turnout because the truth of the matter is we're not choosing, we're not electing. We're not electing anybody, George. The money is already bought and paid. The two candidates are going to win the nomination. It isn't about the people voting any longer. They're not even congressmen and senators. They're security contractors like Blackwater. Every senator and congressman and the president is bought and paid for. They're civilian contractors. It's an oligarchy. Do the math, people. What do you think that means? What is an oligarchy? What does that mean in the language? It means the moneyed elite run this country. They decide who's going to run for office. They give them money. If you don't cooperate with them, they don't give you any money. They give money to your opponent, and you lose.
Even though it's been going on for a long, long time, why does it feel as if it's out of control now?
Oh, because I guess birth pangs are a good way of putting it. I don't want to sound biblical here.
Well, go ahead.
It's like birth pangs. It's a thing like this. This kind of a powerful regime, as it grows and grows in its ascendancy, it gets crueler and crueler. It gets more violent. And the horrible events that take place domestically and overseas that are perpetrated by the men in power of this corporate regime, as that happens, the events are closer and closer together because they're getting closer and closer to the end game, the victory. They're in the fourth quarter. 35, 40 years ago was the first quarter. Almost nobody would have even listened. They didn't listen to me then, 35 years ago. I was banned from radio stations 35 years ago. Now nobody questions my argument at all.
Well, because we all see these things happening. And though, I mean, I got to tell you, I don't want to believe it. I don't want it to be true. But it is.
You can't, Well, you know, maybe I've been an existentialist too long. I accept what is. I don't care about anything else. I only care about what is. I don't think about, you know, I read philosophy. I've written two books on philosophy, but that's something I do in my spare time. It's kind of like, I don't want to say a hobby, maybe a passion, but that's about the way things ought to be. Psychology is trying to analyze why things have happened the way they've happened in individual lives or societal, cultural lives. But I'm an existentialist and a praxeologist. All I care about is what is in fact the reality. And if you don't face the reality, you really truly are a fool. So all you and I are doing, George, tonight, and we're asking your listeners to face up to reality. It is what it is. It's not something different. That's why Tom Englehart on the progressive left is finally getting to the point, because he no longer wants to argue Noam Chomsky's argument that this is an American empire and the empire is in decline. It isn't American. It has no relationship to America. It's a corporate empire. 17 years ago on Mike Siegel's show, and one of my clients is an archivist. He's mm-hmm. archived everything I've done, and he actually listened to everything 3 or 4 times. I don't know why. But he said on Mike Siegel's show 17 years ago, you once said the stock market can go to 5,000 while 100 million Americans are unemployed.
And it's way past that now.
It's already past that. Yeah. We have 100 million Americans permanently unemployed. Every story that you hear about unemployment this month or that quarter, they're all lies, because they're not counting the 100 million adult Americans that'll never work again.
Who have given up.
Never look for a job.
That's right. They've given up looking for work. So you remember the movie Network? Good old Howard Beale came out and said, I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. And we're just fed up. Leave us alone. How appropriate was that then? How appropriate is that now?
It was prescient then, and I guess it's pointless for me to say I'm not going to take it anymore because there's nothing we can do about it. The truth is, and this
you love this country. Check. I know you love the country.
That's why I'll always continue anywhere, anytime doing interviews like this. I'll never stop.
Ever. In the morning when you open up your emails, because we've got links to your website, what kind of response do you get after doing this show?
None.
Do they hate you? Do they do anything like that?
We don't get a response at all. We don't get any emails. We don't get any phone calls.
That's unbelievable.
I know, George, that's hard to believe because I know you do.
I get thousands.
Silence here. When I hang up this phone, it'll be dead silent all week. I'll go do Carl Nelson's show. He's on 100 stations nationwide. I don't get a phone call. I'm going to town and do a local station in the studio. We don't get a phone call.
Are you being blocked?
No. I think the American people, when they hear me, they just go, I don't have anything to say to this guy.
Well, we're taking calls with you next hour, and already I'm looking at my phone lines. They're all lit. So you're getting calls.
Well, I do get calls on shows when I do them, but for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's fear. Maybe they're afraid if they call this number, my office number.
Somebody will track
it. NSA's going to be tracking them. Well, I got news for you. NSA's tracking every single one of you, every breath you take now.
I'm sure there's somebody there taking notes about what you're saying right now.
I guarantee you NSA can hear me. That's why I always try to remind them that I love Edward Snowden.
Take a little break, Craig. We're going to come back in seconds. We're going to take phone calls next hour with Craig Hewlett as we talk about the world in turmoil. If you need to email me, and I do get him, george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can do all that by going to coasttocoastam.com.